is Java, you should come to it with a maquette. The traditional market, which becomes one of our places in Banyuwangi, is located at our small village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Besong Bangso. Besong Bangso is a typical food of Regional Tidur Hamlet, Singolaten Village, Singojuru Sub-District.
Because if you look at the data, it is the lowest number of open unemployment since the COVID-19 about 3 years ago. But we have to be careful with looking at this data, because if we talk about the open unemployment, it means that this includes those who are underemployed. But the underemployed workers also increase. So it means the quality of our labor force absorption in the labor market also should be questioned. Because, for example, if you look also by sector, most of them absorb in the labor market also mostly in the informal sector, which is, you know, that informal sector always have a low income, no job security, even no social protection and so on. So, I mean, besides the number decrease, but we should also look at the quality of this figure as well.
And what about the government's policy that affecting this decreasing number?
Actually, when we talk about the unemployment, it means that this is the problem that we are always facing, especially if we look at the economic condition at the moment, where, as you mentioned before, that soon the U.S. tariff will be affect our economy, and of course, in the near future, this also affect our labor markets. I can predict that the number of unemployment will be increased, at least in the second or the third quarter of 2025. So we should be aware about this impact, especially because most of our export to U.S. mostly in the labor-intensive sector, right, such as in the textile, garment, and footwear industry, because this is also become the backbone of our economy at the moment. So you can imagine if the tariff implemented soon, the effect will be also very serious in our economy. And the life of maybe one author is so that we have to aware about this.
So do you think the government's previous policy can be also implemented to decrease the unemployment rate following the U.S. tariff policies?
Yeah, I heard that the government soon will establish like a write-off tax, right?
Yes.
Such as I think that's a good idea to adjust something that will affect our labor market. But we should also be aware that the write-off tax is on both sides, but of course business also should be run, right? That's why the government also should look at the both sides between handling the problem issue of write-off and also how to support the business can grow in the situation soon because of the tariff, U.S. tariff.
So, what do you think to make this task force become an anticipatory step against the risk of increasing layoffs due to the impact of U.S. economic policies?
Yeah, the layoff task force would also focus on how to increase the capability of our labor force to compete in a situation like this. For example, they also should look at how to give opportunity for those who are looking for job with better skills, better competency, and also how they also can enhance. Because if you look at the data of the sector, mostly we are now still dominated by informal sector, including 97% of them are small medium business entrepreneurship. That's why the government also should look at this kind of sector that need to support them, especially give incentives so they can also run their business in the middle of condition that the economic maybe will be not easy for them. That's why the lack of task force not only working on the relation between company and the workers, but also look at the potential economy that can support those who will get the layoff, and then they can also start business and so on.
Incentives and skill increasing competence really matters. What factors do you think will be affected the most that we have to be really aware of?
So of course, the manufacturing, including the textiles and garment and footwear, because this is the labor-intensive sectors and already affected by the some of the issues. Such as at the beginning of this year, you can remember that the giant textile industry Citex just laid off around 11,000 workers at the time. And also now, some of the electronic industry also, because the effect of the tariff will soon will also affect this kind of industry. So that's why the government should be aware about this and think about the alternative way how to deal with this kind of issue in the near future.
And what is one of the most suitable or on-target mitigation efforts by the industry to face this?
The lack of tax force, of course, should working with the industry, how to at least not to take the lack of as the first priority, because you know what, because we also need a job for our workers. That's why there should be a mitigation how to deal with this. One of them, I think, the government also should support the development of the creative industry, dealing with the digital economy and so on, because now I think this is one of the new sectors that promising to our economy and can also be alternative for those who have been laid off to start to get jobs or to start business and to change their mindset, not looking for job but how to create the jobs. That's why I think in the near future, government also should think about this opportunity in the digital economy and also in the creative economy, because I think we have a big potential in this sector, and the government still have to work hard to optimize the opportunity to get benefit, to get good development on these sectors.
So it's about the skill strengthening them. How do you adjust to one of the digital industry? And it also includes domestic market strengthening.
Yeah, also if you talk about the digital economy and also creative industry, this is not limited only for the local consumer, right? It is also linked to the global market. That's why it is also one of the opportunity for us to develop our economy in the creative and digital economy. It's also a good opportunity for example, like at the moment, the participation of women in the labor market is still low compared to the male workers, right? So that's why this is also something that can give an opportunity for women to participate in the labor market, in the creative and also in the digital economy. And now people looking for this kind of jobs, especially those who got laid off recently, they are also now looking the opportunity to create jobs by their own in the creative industry and also in the digital economy.
Yeah, so when it comes to job creation and then productive entrepreneurs, this is also in line with the statement that we just got today from the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or PANIN, which is pushing for the creation of employment opportunities. And layoffs can be prompted by several reasons, besides this tariff policy, also economic slowdowns. And how do you see this issue also can affect economic growth of Indonesia that is expected to return to about 5%?
Actually, we cannot depend on the, for example, such as the sector like textile and garments, because you know, actually, this kind of industry move from the, for example, from South Asia, from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and go to Indonesia, now moving to Cambodia, Vietnam, and so on. So, we cannot, depend on this sector. That's why I suggest that we should look at our potentials, economic potentials, such as creative industry. We have a very rich resource about this, and this is also dealing with the small medium enterprises that we have. 90% of them absorb the labor force at the moment. That's why the government should also think about how to develop the SMEs in Indonesia with the creative industry and also use the digital economy as a tools to boost our economy as well.
Okay. What about trade tariff diplomacy to explore export opportunities? Which is
this is a very political issue, I think, because you know that we already sent our Minister Coordinator of Economy to deal with this kind of issue, but still, the tariff is still very high, 32% to 34%. That's why I think now it depends on the US and China relation, because now they already have some consensus to decrease the tariff. So we do hope that we can also get this influence. And once the tariff reduce, then of course we hope that tariff for Indonesia also will reduce. Because this is mostly about the politics between US, China, and other countries.
Okay, and back to the job creation itself. Can the definition of work only be used in the context of wage earners, or can it be expanded in broader context, for example, developing small businesses?
Well, I think the definition of work can be should be understood in a broader context, not in a small context like only wage earning employment. Because the definition of work includes a diverse range of productive economy activities, including small business, self-employment, and even certain type of unpaid or informal labor. So we cannot make it a very small definition of works, because works also include those who are not wage-based employment relations, something like that.
And in your view itself, how do you view the working trend in Indonesian society right now? And how can people take advantage of opportunities to still have income and minimize the impact of layoffs?
Well, this is a quite interesting fact, that especially if we talk about youth generation at the moment, Gen Z and also millennial generation, they have a different perspective on how to find jobs. Our parents maybe prefer for the permanent jobs, right? But our generation, but now the Gen Z generation, they don't focus to find permanent job even, because they have a, such as a right balance, principle, right, between work and also with the social activity and so on. That's why in the near futures, there will be a change of our labor's market condition and dynamics, and mass of young people, mass of our young generation, which is now at the moment constitute more than half of our population, will work perhaps not only in the permanent job, but also looking for a bit free relation jobs, such as part-time job, online job, ride-hailing job, and so on. So that's why it is also a new dynamic in our labor market, but should be very careful about this, because flexible work also have a positive and also negative impact to workers, right? So this is also have to think about that.
Yes, we talk about the working trend, one of them is a freelance trend, is that, and even now we also have remote working. So, you think can this be a solution, or will it be a boomerang? Because many companies rely on freelancers for operational work, where a working system that is really unprotected and often mediocre pay.
Yeah, freelancing and remote work can be a viable solution, especially in the current labor market, because it's offer a low entry barrier, right? So people can start with just a skill and internet connection, and then they can start business, doing business, and also with not only in the local market, but also global market access. And also they have flexibility and autonomy. And also, of course, pay layoff income bridge, because sometimes it can be used as a bridge from layoff to start a productive income while figuring out the next step or something. But be careful, because most of these jobs usually lack of protection, especially from the social security, national security scheme like PPJS, and also no guarantee of minimum wage, no health insurance and severance, and so on. There's also issue that most of this kind of job have a low bargaining power, because freelancers or online workers, they depend on the clients and also compete from the same jobs, and sometimes they have to deal with the rates downs and so on. So that's why, besides the positive way of freelancing and online workers, but also there is something that we should also be aware about this, especially if we talk about the protection for job security, protection from the social security, and so also minimum wage and so on.
So indeed, it's all about our choice, but we need to pay attention to the details about the security, right? Still are facing the risk of layoffs due to U.S. tariff policies. What would you like to say to all companies, businessmen, the workers, to face this is still in optimism?
We still have actually possible potential economy that we can develop in our economy, such as what I say in the creative industry, and also we can also look for the potential markets. Even in our country, we still have also our own markets. So I don't think that we should be very worried about the U.S. tariff, because you know, economics sometimes dynamics, politics also sometimes dynamics, right? So better we talk about how to optimize our economic potential here in Indonesia, not only for the resource but also for the markets. We have kids on the creative industry. We also have a big market for it's our own market. So if we can focus on this sector, optimize the human resource and with trainings, with education, and so on, so I'm sure in the future we can also have our own market and also our alternative economy, which is also offer a good for our economic growth.
You know, so everything's dynamic, so make sure we keep optimistic amid this layoff concern. Stay optimistic and stay creating jobs, besides finding jobs, maybe for those who are still finding jobs. And don't forget to pay attention to the details that we just discussed before. Alright, Nawawi, thank you so much for your insight about today's VOI talk, facing the risk of layoffs due to U.S. tariff policies. And like what we said before, hopefully we can keep reducing more number of unemployment in Indonesia and creating more jobs.
Yeah.
don't forget to tune in to our online streaming in voinews.id in shortwave for 55 kHz and for 755 kHz. Also, our application in AAA Digital for those of you love watching on demand.
Kasumi is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasumi is generally shaped like a tumpang or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasumi. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or coat to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kadete. To make kasumi, initially kadete is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This dough is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the kadete, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with kadete flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasumi is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasumis. Kasumi is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasumi is the initial food in Bhutan's traditional events. Interestingly, kasumi is also often used as stocks for tips or souvenirs between fellow Bhutan residents. Kasumi can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight. Because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling cook when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make a simple batter, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs, and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gumpo as rice meatball, because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gumpo comes from the word jumpo, because it uses the fingers. Sheet resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gumbo platter is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or cream sticky rice paste. For one bowl of ice gumbo platter, you only need to pay 5,000 rupees. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Chilies, basil, and key lime.